Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello! It's the Scummy Mummies podcast with me, Helen Thorne.
And me, Ellie Gibson.
And do you know what, Ellie?
What?
We've got Carrie-Anne Lloyd here.
Hello, Carrie-Anne!
Yeah!
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. That was all the fans cheering.
Yes, yeah. It was. Would you like to introduce yourself? I'm lazy.
Oh,
go
sure.
On. Who are you?
I'm Carrie-Anne Lloyd. I'm sitting between you.
Yes.
I am an actor, writer, comedian and improviser, which is too many things. It's too many, but it is, I do
You're a creative type. You're a renaissance woman.
I'm a renaissance woman. What I always say is, like, if you're really successful, then you can just say, I'm a writer, because that's what you do. But if you're sort of okay at all things, you have to do more than one, don't you? Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't really hear, like, a doctor going, I'm a doctor and also a postman and a butcher.
And I write a blog about it.
Yeah, and I fix cars. Yeah. And I collect coat hangers.
I do creative stuff, basically.
Yeah. Mm. And you've been on the telly? What have you been in on the telly?
God, don't make me. That's what people...
That's what they want to know, Carrie. That's what people want to know.
When we did I did a show called Ostentatious, and a woman in the audience went, I know you, where from? And I was like, I have done TV. What? Come on then, what? Oh. So aggressive. And I was like, I was on QI. Yeah, that's it. Why didn't you just say that? I didn't.
You need a little CV in your little back pocket going, I have
also,
done this.
What has happened, and me and my comedian friends talk about, sometimes you say, I was on QI, and they go, no, I haven't seen it, it's not that. And then you feel like such a dick of, like, the assumption, oh, you've seen me. I've been on QI. Have I got news for you? Peep Show, Murder and Successful.
Oh, I thought you, for a minute there, I thought you were going to say Murder, She Wrote, and I was going to be really impressed. I was like, wow.
QI, Ellie, not doesn't give a shit.
No, yeah.
Is Murder, She Wrote still being made? I don't think it is.
Is Angela Lansbury still alive?
She is.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that. If your agent rang you up tomorrow and said, right, I've got you two gigs, but they're on the same day, you've got to choose QI or Murder, She Wrote, what would you do?
Sandy Toksvig is in QI, so QI. Sorry. Come on, Sandy.
What about QI or Diagnosis Murder?
Oh, that is hard. I love
Van Dyke. Love the Van Dyke.
Did you ever see the one where it was a mime that did it? And at the end, they said it was a mime who'd done it. And she said, we always thought she was the strong, silent type. That was why she'd done murders. That's another level. I think Murder, She Wrote is fine, but Diagnosis Murder, that's tough. I would...
So all of that, plus you do a podcast,
don't
you?
I do a podcast, yeah. I do a podcast called Griefcast, which is where I interview comedians about death and grief. Caveat, cheerier than it sounds. Because whenever I tell people that, their face is either, oh, wow, that's interesting, or why would anyone do that? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
So I have to be like, So I talk to comedians about death, and so obviously comedians are good at making jokes when things are awkward. So they're very good when anything emotional happens, of being like, this is sad, but here's some funny things that happened.
Yeah.
So it's like cheery, honest chats about death.
Yeah, and the great thing about comedians is they have no shame.
No shame.
So they're not embarrassed to talk about, you know, their parents shitting themselves or weird noises or all those things.
It's like, not only about parents shitting themselves.
This is what your podcast is excellent, is because all those questions, you're like, what happens when they die? What does the body look like? How long does it take for the undertaker to get there? Yeah. What do you do with a dead body? Ellie and I had a very awkward chat the other day about the Irish who leave dead bodies in their house.
Oh, yeah.
they leave them in the house overnight.
Yeah.
Or like 48 hours, isn't it, sometimes?
So I was talking to Helen the other day, and I was saying, you know, my friend's dad died, and he's Irish, so yeah, they had him, you know, in the living room for a few days.
Yeah.
And she went, what, just sitting there? Like in an armchair?
He said, no, like they laid
moved,
out.
They moved
like,
his arm to pretend he had tea.
It's like Weekend of Burning. Yeah,
slipped all over him. Kept giving him food.
Oh dear. We're going to have a bit more grief chat later, aren't we?
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, fun grief chat.
People come to me for fun grief chat.
But first, Carriad, tell us about your family.
Oh my God. Sorry, that was such a switch.
Yeah.
So my house is my husband and my baby daughter. Mm-hmm. He's only 5. Again, this is dyslexic, 15 months. I find it really hard. Past one, I'm struggling. And then my mum's down the road, basically.
Oh, does she do any babysitting?
She does a lot of babysitting.
Excellent, then.
We only have
useful.
One grandparent, hence my massive grief chats all the time. So, yeah, my husband's parents are both dead, and my dad is dead. That's why I do that podcast. So, it's just so she has a lot of babysitting responsibilities.
Mm. So, how is motherhood going? How are you feeling about being a mom? A mother?
A mama. I've got my mom jeans on.
Yeah, so mom.
My belly. Yeah, I'm still weird about it. Mm. Like 15 months in, I still like when you said family. But,
I'm young. I'm here.
I'm cool. Yeah, I love her. Obviously, yeah, obs. I love her. But yeah, I'm still getting my head. Like I still wake up and think, who's that?
Yeah.
Does that happen?
That fell out of my vagina.
Yeah. Well, no, got cut open and taken out the sunroof.
Oh right. Yeah. Oh, glamorous.
Yeah. And we still say to each other, we've got a daughter and laugh.
Like, I sort of remember feeling like that, but I'm like 6 years and counting now, so I can't remember this not being life. I'm like, what did I went to Cambodia for 3 months? Ridiculous.
What was I thinking?
I've got a child. No, I didn't have a child, but what was I doing?
I'm in like the transitory period. I'm in purgatory.
you
guys are already in hell.
Yeah.
I'm like transitioning over. So
you're
I still remember
you've taken the oar off the ferryman. You just don't realise this is now your job for the next 400 years. Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah, and also a lot of my friends don't have, like most of my friends don't have kids.
Right.
So it's still a bit of a weird, I'm still quite alone and like I'm not surrounded by them at all. And if I tell stories, I'm like, oh, she did this. I get a blank, all right. Anyway.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
So that's that weird transition. And like when you go to the pub and you're the only one with a kid and everyone's like, ugh.
They just don't get any, like, if you're like, oh, I still have my friends still go, oh, I'm so tired, to me. And I get so cross about it, and then, and you've shown too many pictures.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right,
that's
what she looks like.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, but can't you see how different she was in each one? And
yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few mum friends now, a few, but yeah, it's still new, still finding it. I find mum friends very hard.
Should we move on to the grief chat?
Oh yes, I think then. I mean, it's time.
That's what everyone's waiting for.
Yes, we want the lols, Ellie. We want.
It's so much cheerier than it sounds. Yeah. It just sounds like I see people's faces. Like honestly, like if you listen to some episodes, it's cheery.
It is. I can I speak on behalf of you? Can I grief-splain? It is one of the most uplifting podcasts I've ever listened to because.
Oh, thank you.
It's talking about people's rawest emotions.
Yeah, it's raw.
And also about how much they love that person and how much they miss that person. But also death is awkward and weird and there's plenty
and
of...
funny. It's
and funny.
Really funny. There's so much stuff that happens that when someone is dying, that you feel like, oh, I shouldn't laugh about that.
Yeah.
But if you meet people who've been through it, you secretly say, isn't it? It was quite funny when that happened.
Yeah.
And now I've just recorded all of that, so people have to shamefully be like, yeah, I laughed at the funeral, or I did this, because it is funny. This obviously, it's also very sad.
Yeah.
It's not like a role, it's not like we're just going,
the funny thing about death.
Yeah. But it's like being able to have an honest chat, because that's what I felt like after. So my dad died when I was 15, and I felt like everything I ever saw about grief or people talking about it was like, you know, the head tilt and then that tone of voice and then lots of pictures of beaches and footprints.
What, the film?
I wish.
Barbara Hershey.
And I just thought, that's not what I recognise of grieving. Like, it's like, it's a bit like what you guys do talking about motherhood of like, you know, like, it's amazing but also hideous exactly the same time. And that's what grief is. It's like, it's everything wrapped up at the same time, and you should be able to have a conversation when you're like, oh yeah, like I cried so much that, like, my voice, you know, I couldn't even hear myself. I was making this howling sound like an animal. But then I laughed because I thought, that's a funny sound. Like, you should be able to admit these things without everyone being like, they're talking about death.
Yeah, and I think I always, when I've listened to your podcast, I say, why aren't we teaching this in schools? How do you talk to someone who's just lost somebody? Or how do you bring it up? Or how do you, because people just naturally just want to close the door on it.
Especially if,
like, that's too hard and they're too sad and I'm going to, and it's weird because people naturally are very selfish, like, oh, I'm going to say something wrong or I'm going to do something.
Yeah, and then so they don't say anything.
Yeah, and then they don't do anything for the other person.
I think people think it's catching as well.
Yeah.
It's like if you see someone grieving, you feel like, oh, I'm going to get it.
I can't do sad today.
I'm going to get sad or I'm going to get grief or I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And you just remind them that they'll die.
Mm.
But again, I think I always talk about my podcast, it's so similar to becoming a mother. You know the thing, like, when you become a mother, some people just can't talk to you and you think, I'm still
me. It's all right. I mean, I'm literally squirting milk in your face and my vagina is open and bleeding. It's still me.
Yeah. Things like, just because someone I know and love has died, I can still laugh or want a beer or want to talk about it. Like, but if you get this bubble around you of like, don't go near them. Like, they've got something. But I agree that they should, if we could just talk about it more, then I think people would be less embarrassed to speak to other people. And it should be taught in schools of like, just how to deal with it, because most people when they encounter their first experience of grief and death have no idea, like, how to book a funeral, what happens with, you know, coroners or hospices. They have no idea.
Yeah,
like,
it's all going to happen to us.
It's going to happen to everybody.
Everybody, you're going to look after.
Speak for yourself. I'm pretty confident with the advancements in medical technology going the way they are. I could have a good 4,000 or 5,000 years left, ladies. So, yeah, you know.
You're going to cyberhuman yourself.
I might. Let's just say I've got a place in a freezer next to Walt Disney. It's all going to be fine. But why did you start the podcast? Because so your dad died a while ago. What was it?
Yeah, so my dad died when I was 15, and I honestly didn't talk about it. So I didn't have any counselling really or therapy till about a year ago. So I would talk to people, but I was not processing it at all. And then I got pregnant. And I started going to therapy, and I think what happened was, like, the door opened and then I could not close it because it was like, blah, blah. And I'm someone who, like, if there's a party, I'm an ex-goth. So I'm the girl in the bathroom talking to someone about someone they know that's died, and before they know it, they're crying. And then I'm like, oh, sorry, that person's leaving because I talked to them about death.
Come on, carry on.
But if you want an intense conversation, I'm your gal. Like, I'm not light. I'm not. So I had all my life, I've had these very intense conversations with people. And then because I'm a comic, I was like, I've had it with comics who, you know, who normally in a room full of comics, they're joking, laughing, but they're not with me. They're in the corner going, oh yeah, and then my dad did this, and it's really awful. And I just thought, oh, I wonder if other people would be interested in these conversations. So I recorded 4, and my daughter was 2 weeks late. And I literally was like, oh, well, I'll just put these out. I had nothing. I was so bored. I had nothing to do. And I just thought, well, I'll put them out and no one will listen. But at least I've, you know, done it. And then as soon as they went out, I started getting emails, tweets, and just people going, oh, my God, I've never talked about my grief. I've never heard people talk about grief before. Like, I hadn't realised I'd been grieving. I've never spoken to my wife about it. My family have never spoken about it. Like, just honestly, overwhelmed.
Mm.
I'm sure similar to what you guys get, going, oh, that's my experience and no one's talking about it. And that made me think, oh shit, I've got to carry on.
You started something, come on.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. So then I had her and then I thought, oh, okay, I'll carry on. And then I enjoy it. I enjoy talking to people about deep emotional pain. Because I've been through it since I was 15, I'm just used to it.
Mm.
So I don't have this, I had so much death in my life as a teenager that it's like, I don't know, what were you into as teenagers? You know, like that thing you were like, oh, sure, I've been talking this for, you know, I know this. So, like, it's easy for me to talk about.
And so how have you found the guests for you? Like, how do you actually go, have you had someone who's died?
Yeah, it's really hard. I feel like an ambulance chaser. So if someone puts something on Facebook, honest to God, they're like,
oh my God, they died.
And they're like, oh, you know, pretty sad day, my so-and-so died. And I think, ooh, they'd be a good guest. And then I think, oh, Karen,
let the body chill.
Yeah, yeah. So first, it's not like, obviously, I'm friends with comedians. So the first couple were just sort of like people I knew that had talked to me about death.
Mm.
And then like, Yeah, Adam Buxton was episode number one, and I listened to his podcast religiously, and he was talking about his dad and his dad dying and the death. So I thought, oh, well, he's talking about it on his. Perhaps he wouldn't mind. So I kind of knew him, so I just emailed him. And he said, are you a trained psychotherapist? And I was like, no.
No?
No, I just thought it'd be fun.
Not even an amateur psychotherapist.
I haven't even read the book.
Yeah,
I can do
chat.
Yeah, I can
know what that means.
Yeah.
So then I think that really basically helped that Adam did one. So then other comics were like, oh, if Adam's done it. And then, because if you have experienced it, to be honest with you, you kind of want to talk about it because no one lets you. So normally when I say to people, I do this podcast about death, they're like, oh my God, please, yes, I want to come on and help people by talking about my experience.
Mm.
So yeah, it's just kind of gone from that. And now people do get in touch.
Yeah, no, no.
And they're like, oh, someone just died, can I come on?
Yeah.
Like,
sure. But you've had some really, I mean, it's all sad, but things I find difficult to listen to is like, if babies have died.
Oh
and...
yeah, and we had an episode about, yeah Lou Conran.
Yeah.
Who's an amazing stand-up, and she lost her baby when she was 5.5 months pregnant.
Mm.
And basically she went to the scan and it wasn't a viable birth, as they would say. And her her episode is, I found that fucking hard. Like,
no, it's really sad. Ooh.
But she is so funny about that experience. I know that sounds awful and obviously it's a terrible, terrible thing to happen, but she has found a way to deal with it through humour. And that is her way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it happens. Mm. And it shouldn't be tucked away and shameful.
No, and I think one of the things I've found really useful of your podcast is that you attach certain emotions which are okay about death.
Yeah.
But then there's emotions you talk about being angry. Mm. And there's the Robert Webb episode especially, where he talks about, he kind of milked his mother's death to pull girls.
Yeah.
But that's really honest.
That's so common. When my parent died,
you know, suck my cock.
But if it happens to you when you're a teenager,
that's
what I mean, you don't change. So he's a 17-year-old boy, he's trying to sleep with girls.
Mm.
It's just like, and obviously that doesn't mean you're not upset about what's happened to you. But of course, if you're at a party and someone's like, oh, you know, you as a teenager, you want to be mysterious and like, you're like, actually, my dad just died. So I kind of understand life. Like, I kind of get it in a way that no one here does.
I've leveled up.
Yes, okay. So all this bullshit that's happening now, I'm above it.
I'm just going to go and read some Buddhist texts now.
I'm going to look at some Dali paintings and feel them on a different level. But you talk about being in the club and also about...
Yeah, we call it the club to make it feel better because it is shit.
Yeah.
And now we say we're in the club.
And also about some like fundamental shifts about, you know, like when the phone rings... You think someone's died.
Yeah,
like all that sort of. And I think if anyone hasn't experienced grief, it's a really sensitive way of kind of exploring that, because you think, oh, what's up with them? Or you just don't know what they've got going on.
Yeah, because obviously not, you know, people go through it. I just happened to go through it very early.
Yeah.
So I'm now experienced at it in a way that most people don't get till they're older. But if you haven't experienced it, of course you don't know what to say. Of course you don't. Like, so if you listen to the podcast, there's lots of people, I always say to them, what do you wish had happened? And often it's like, I just wish my friends had talked about it or asked. And the big thing is everyone asks for 6 months, but they stop after about a year. No, you need to keep going for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, and then, to be honest, like, I'm coming up to 20 years and friends still say, oh, you know, you're like... You, if you're in the club, you get it. That pain doesn't ever disappear ever. So it's like nice when people remember that thing happened to you.
Yeah.
And I know you said you've just had therapy quite recently.
Yeah.
Long time after. Do you kind of wish you had done it sooner after your dad's death?
Yeah. So I talk about this a lot. So I was 15, which means that I was given child therapy because I wasn't. If I'd been 16, they would have classed me as an adult. So it's a really hard time. That's what me and Robert Webb were talking about. And Sam Bain, who wrote Peep Shows on next week's one, I think, and he was 10. And so it's this thing, when you're a kid, and you're sort of a kid, but you're not quite an adult, like, so I was sent to, like, I'm not joking, colouring pencils, doll's house, we sat on tiny chairs, and I was 15, so I just was like, I don't belong here, and she knew I didn't belong here, so it's better now, there are more charities, but yeah, I definitely wish someone had... just bothered to talk to me as a teenager, and no one knew what to do with me. They were like, we can't make her do drawings, but equally we can't ask her to go into...
We can't just give her drugs.
Yes.
Is that what teenagers like? I don't know. Get some video games, Ian. Get some video games. Is that what they do, these teenagers?
Yeah, there's no iPhones. So it's just grief for me. And there's now an amazing charity called Child Bereavement UK. And they, like, I met the woman who set it up, who wrote an amazing book called Grief Works, Julia Samuel. And this charity, they now, like, they take them away for weekends, they make short films, and they hang out with other kids who've been bereaved. And I didn't know any of, like, it'd just be, like, to hang out with some other kids who are the same age as you. So, yeah, they feel awkward, and they look shit, and they're trying to talk to, you know, people they fancy. But they also have lost a parent. That must be, yeah, it's amazing that it exists now.
So, obviously, you've talked to lots of people about this. So what have you kind of learned about what... What do you say to someone who's just lost someone very close, especially if, like Helen and I, we haven't lost a parent yet, we don't know.
I lost mine for 24 hours.
Helen, you're not in the club, okay? Yeah. I'm sorry.
I've dabbled. It's like I kissed a girl. Yeah. I'm not a lezzer, all right?
And I'm like a hardcore lesbian being like,
unless you really... Yeah.
Unless you've licked the
badge. It was the Australian Outback. She did actually think they were dead.
So what happened was that my parents... they went driving in the Outback in a tiny little like hatchback car, and they disappeared for 24 hours. There was like 8 police units, helicopters. We thought they were dead. My husband thought they were dead.
Oh my god! Her husband's looking at the map, going, "They've got no chance, Helen. They're not going to make it.
No,
they're not going to make it."
Like it was, yeah. So
thanks so much.
And
honey.
Then he's like, "But look, the flights are cheap." And I'm like going, I'm planning their funeral because they're old people. Like they're like 76 and 80, and their faces were all over the news.
Oh my god!
And like, but you know, they're alive now. But it was a weird thing that I kind of went into the grief was like, oh, she always loved that hymn, and I started thinking the last time I saw them, what was the last thing I said to them? Did I make them? Did I love them enough? You know what? You know, like having an existential crisis.
Did you then check though when you found? Were you like, I was going to do this hymn, and your mum was like, what?
And I said,
I want the best by Tina Turner. I want Private Dancer.
Steamy Windows.
Steamy Windows, Helen.
Start with that, end with Private Dancer.
I had a bit of Kylie as I go down.
I'm spinning around.
Better the devil you know.
I should be so lucky. My dad's our roadie now. He drives us to shows, and we recently lost him for 10 minutes in a service station outside Peterborough. So again, that's the same.
You're in the club.
The same.
I like the fact Ellie yesterday did the eulogy. Was it your granny's funeral?
This is current. Yeah.
And she texts me saying I shouldn't have eaten eggs before I...
Today's life lesson: don't eat lots of eggs for breakfast when you've got to give a speech at a funeral. I learned.
Were you a bit tooty, Ellie?
Oh, I held it in for my grandma. Held it in for grandma. So kind of what are the things?
So yeah, obviously everybody's different, and like I'm sure you have this as well. Like everyone's experience of motherhood is different, but there's lots of similarities. So everyone who experiences grief, it will be different. And also there's a big difference between sudden death and expected death. So if someone literally gets a phone call saying something, they will be in shock.
Is that what happened to you with your...
No, my dad had cancer, but for only like 2 months.
Right.
So, but if someone has cancer for a long time, so the moment you will find out someone has cancer, you will start grieving for them. So if someone's been ill for a long time, their grief is obviously in a very different place. But I think the main thing is ask, just talk about it. And if you get it wrong, just say sorry. So obviously I wouldn't lead with like... oh, your dad died. But I think if someone says, it's just being sincere. Like, I'm really sorry to hear about your mum, your dad. Are you okay? Is there anything I can do? Which also expect they will say no. And then your responsibility is to do stuff without being asked.
I always think lasagna. Always lasagna.
And I would honestly say, same rules for new baby. If someone's had a new baby, don't come around the house with your fucking problems. No. Turn up with the lasagna. If someone's just lost one of their parents, turn up with lasagna, bring some tea bags, bring some milk so they can just have some biscuits, because they will be bombarded with people coming around and you just need so many biscuits in the house. Like an unbelievable amount of biscuits. So get biscuits, especially if it's their English. And just ask about it. And again, if you see that they're uncomfortable or they're crying, that's okay. Let them cry. It doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. Like if someone's then... that's the thing, I think people go, oh, I don't want to be upset. But they are upset. Their parent just died. It would be weird if they, you know, if they weren't feeling anything, or if it seems like they're not feeling anything, they're in shock. So just keep checking in. I think a big thing you can do now is text. So just wake up in the morning, hey, just thinking of you. Anything funny that's not about is good. So if you can send them like funny YouTube, funny meme, something that made you laugh, something that's going to distract them, especially in the media aftermath, first 6 months. Hey, I saw this, thought of you. And not waiting for them to call you. They're not going to call you. They're going to feel so isolated and shit and encased in grief. So if you can just be that person who's constantly, hey, just thinking of you. Oh, shit, data, it's really cold. Was thinking of you. Hey, did you see that stupid program? Just thinking of you. So they just know they're not alone, because grief makes you feel alone. Mm. So that's the big thing. There isn't a right thing to say. It's just be persistent, basically.
Just offer the hand. Like, just,
yeah, just keep being like, I'm here. Mm. I'm here. And I think texts are really good, because then if they feel like not speaking, they don't have to. Mm. So, you know. Mm. And another really cool thing to do is just make a note of the date, so that in a year's time, or at least remember, it was April. So in a year's time, you can say to that person, oh, hey, it's the anniversary coming up. Because anniversaries are such a big deal in the grief club. It's like a really cool thing we do, which is we cry on the anniversary and we feel shit. So if you can just, if someone says to me, oh, yeah, it's your dad's anniversary, I feel like, oh, my God, thank you. Like, it's like if someone remembers your kid's birthday. It's like, oh my God, you care about me. Mm. Yeah, just remembering stuff like that is incredibly supportive. And bring booze, probably, as well.
Yeah. Yes, awesome. Baileys,
yes.
Kahlua, all the things. Lovely. They're my favourites.
Well, there we go.
Oh, that's... Well, wrap that up in a box. Shall we? Done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Should we lighten the mood a little bit?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Sorry.
Let's do some comedy. Comedy chat.
Sorry.
She's done a lot of comedy, Ellie.
No, and I just like talking about death. It's really bad.
No, but they're very similarly related, because it's all about pain. It's all about the awkward. It's all about...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's where the funny comes from.
Definitely. Do you think you losing your dad so young had anything to do with you becoming a comedian?
No, I actually think it stopped me for a long time. Sorry, like I told you, I only do intense chats. I feel already.
She's hilarious.
Yeah, like, I know people after a gig, they're like, oh, not what I expected. No, it stopped me because it knocked my confidence so much. Because when you lose a parent young, like, you just feel like you can't rely on anything. Like, nothing makes sense anymore. So I didn't really get into comedy until I was like 27, 28. Mm-hmm. Kind of, and some, you know, you meet people like, I'm 21, I'm doing stand-up. And I was like, how did you know? How did you have the confidence? So yeah, it actually knocked me off course for about 10 years, I think.
So what was the catalyst then in the end? What made you think now I'm gonna
so
do
now
it.
I'm funny.
Yeah. God. So I went to uni with Sarah Pascoe, that's where I met her. And then after we left uni, she moved in with me and my mum, which was hilarious. And she was always like so determined, and so we both wanted to be actors. So she got us a job as tour guides on the London buses. She got us a job as, like, honestly, I just followed her. I'd like theatre and education, because she was like, we have to do performing jobs, and then I would like slope off and do temping. And then she literally said to me one day, there's this thing called stand up, and if you do it, sometimes they give you £5. And she was like,
where the fuck is this? Write this down, Helen. Wait, hang on. on, hang on. Oh, I've got an idea.
Yeah. We were on the tube and she was like, oh, I went to a gig. And she was dating a stand-up. And she was like, they paid him £10. You know, if you've got 5 gigs a week, that's £50. Like, that's enough. That's enough. Because we were so fucking poor living at my mum's house. And she was like, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do stand-up. And then she started and I, for ages, was like, oh, I can't do this. And then I met a character comic called Pip Evans.
Yeah.
And then when I saw that, I was like, oh, I could do that. I could be someone else. Can't be myself. Ugh. Ooh, couldn't think anything worse.
And then how did you get in from that, from the £5 shows
to telly?
To the peep show and the QIs and all of that.
Yeah, I did an Edinburgh show. That was my big... So I was like temping full-time, gigging every night. And then I wrote an Edinburgh show, took it to Edinburgh, and then it just went nuts from there, and I got nominated for Best Newcomer. Yeah, so I just do all these stupid characters, basically, yeah, but not as myself at all. And then improv was the other big thing. I was doing improv, and that kind of just was a nice way to do comedy with other people.
So what have been the highlights for you? What are the bits you're most proud of, where you've enjoyed the most?
Oh, I didn't like do you, I find it really hard to be proud of stuff.
Well, you are English.
Peep Show, because I was a massive fan.
Mm.
And it's fun. Peep Show, if you notice, they don't really... The other people in it are actors.
Yes.
So they don't normally have comics in it. So when I did my series, which was the last series, loads of the other actors had never seen it. So they were like, oh, yes, I like the script. And I was like, we're sitting next to Mark and Jeremy. And my first scene, I had to go into Jeremy's bedroom. Like, in my... And I literally...
I remember that episode,
I slammed the door and I was like, I'm in Jeremy's bedroom. And then had to be like, oh, hey, Rob, yeah, I'm cool. But was not...
No.
And then when they... You know, the scripts are so funny. Mm. Like, there's that one episode where it's like, he has a terrible dinner party. And we shot it all day. And I dug my nails into my palms because I was laughing so much.
Yeah.
Like, I just had to cause myself pain because I was like, I can't keep it together. It was... They were just being so brilliant. Peep Show was definitely a highlight. Aww. Yeah.
So what's next? What are you doing now? What have you got coming up? What's the dream?
I don't know. Like, I had a pilot of a sketch show years ago. So I always wanted to do sketch shows, but they are mad popular. So I'm honestly, I know this sounds lame, but I'm honestly so happy that my job is to do this, whatever it is. I worked so many shit jobs for so long that the fact that I now get paid to write something or go in and help someone write something or teach improv to someone or do an improv show and I get paid, I still feel like, what?
And you're in an improv show at the moment.
In an improv show. I do. So there's two things in my life, Death and Jane Austen. I'm in an improv group called Ostentatious, an improvised Jane Austen novel. Or just Ostentatious for easiness. And we're currently in the West End doing once a month. And we literally improvise a Jane Austen story, completely made up every time. We're in full Regency gear and we have a violinist and cellist to improvise with us.
Oh my God.
And it's
that's actually talented, Ellie.
Yeah, that's like really clever. Talent.
So it's like spoof Jane Austen, but you don't have to like Jane Austen. It's like a spoof period drama, basically.
But is it a bit sweary and naughty as well?
There's a lot of anachronistic jokes.
Yeah.
Last show I did take a Mr. Darcy character to Nando's, stuff like that.
Well, there we go. Is it time for a game, HT?
It is, Ellie. So we've done comedy, we've done death, and now we're doing a game called Dead or Alive. So I'm going to list some names and you have to buzz in whether you think they're dead or alive.
Here we go.
Mark Little, who played Joe Mangle. Yeah, Ellie.
Alive.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Alive.
Joe Mangle will never die. We all know that.
Joe Henry. Someone the other day couldn't remember Henry.
What's wrong with that person?
I mean, we don't speak of him now, do we?
What did he do? Did he just
hashtag me too. Check one, two.
Check yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Check your privilege more.
Fucking,
like.
Yeah.
Oh,
check out.
Isn't it sad when it's one you like?
Yeah, isn't it?
He did write a song about building a house next door to a woman who was basically... I mean, that's
Mona.
Extreme stalking.
Mona!
Yeah, build a house next door to you. Anyway.
No one could get their towel trapped in a car like you could.
That's his legacy.
Yeah.
Oh my
God, I've just realised that his whole comedy was exposing himself and oh my God.
Now it all makes sense!
Yeah. That was horrible.
That's the piece in the puzzle.
Good. Craig McLaughlin chat, done.
All right, done.
We can that off. We haven't mentioned him on the podcast since the Miles Jupp episode, so I'm glad his wheel has come full circle.
You don't do it every week.
No,
that's a separate podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Gary Coleman.
Dead.
Correct.
Yeah,
she's back in the game.
I'm zero.
Gary Oldman was going around. And I was like, no, that's wrong. And I couldn't get there. I couldn't get there. Yeah,
no. All right.
Sydney Poitier.
Yeah. Dead.
So dead.
Alive. He's alive.
That's amazing that he's still alive. What a man. What a man. Love that man.
Anne Haddie. aka Helen Daniels Ellie
dead.
Yes,
she's dead.
Both in both worlds.
Yes,
both Neighbours and real life.
She's chosen quite an eclectic mix of people, if I may say.
Heavy on the Neighbours.
Yeah, three people from Neighbours,
and then
fucking random. Like you've gone through a phone, but you've gone through who's who and just put a fucking pin in it.
Okay. So when was the last time anyone mentioned Sydney Pratty?
I don't know.
Doris Day.
Yeah,
dead.
Alive.
No.
Where is she? She's in her home. She's asleep. She's 95. Don't bother
Billy
her.
Billy White's like 95 and alive.
Is Doris Day literally alive?
She is literally alive. How good is this game, listener?
I'm going to fucking Google that.
Jerry Lewis.
Dead and also creepy, isn't he?
Yes.
One? Yeah.
And glad he is, because he said women aren't funny, so he can fucking
rot
in
hell. And did he marry a 12-year-old?
Yeah.
I mean, there were signs very clearly.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, not that we wish anyone dead, but... For him, yes.
Not that we do, but for some paedophiles.
Who are already dead, and therefore it makes no difference what we do. Their time has passed.
I think I'll finish with this one. A guy called John Lee Bottom, who was the father of River Phoenix. Is he alive or dead?
That's so weird!
That's weird.
Why have you picked that guy?
His son is dead, and I thought it was a curveball.
It's not light though, is it? Because you mentioned River Phoenix, which was a really depressing one. I think he's dead.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
good.
I'll get the point.
What a finisher.
Very weird game.
Now, should we have a Scummy Mummy Confessions to round us off? So I'm going to go first here. I've got a death related confession. So yesterday,
my coffin.
Oh, right up here. I bet you just can't wait to hear more about death. Yesterday was my grandma's funeral. She was 100. Oh. So it was not a huge shock. passing. So we had the festival. That's the wrong word.
You're not even drunk.
We all just got loads of MDMA. Yeah. We just went to a field and put the Prodigy on my dad's car stereo and just got fucked up. It was
funerals
amazing.
Funerals would be better at that.
Husband. It's what she would have wanted. It's what she wanted. Yeah. We had a good. It was a good service, and we all, you know, people said things. It was all very moving. And then it was time to, you know, say goodbye. So we didn't do the thing where because I'd seen them films where the coffin goes down.
Someone presses a button.
If you can avoid that, sometimes you can have a curtain go around. That's better.
So we got up to kind of leave, and they were playing some lovely jazzy music that my grandma liked. And my mum went up to she said, I've got to go. And she just went up to the coffin and she just put a hand on the coffin in the end and just, you know, said, love you, grandma, and came back and... And I was like, yeah, I've got to do that as well. So I just went and I put my hand. And as I put my hand, hadn't realised it was on casters.
Oh, no.
And luckily, it was just a little nudge. It was a little nudge. But for a moment, I honestly thought it was going to go. And I thought I was going to accidentally shove the coffin through the curtain. And I was like, I came back.
Ellie's decided to do the cremation herself. Yes. Very hands on.
Ready, steady, burn.
You know what you're saying about funerals like being funny. So I'm already in this heightened state of sort of stress and grief. Yeah. And like you, my reaction often in a situation, Helen knows this very well, is to laugh or to say something dreadful.
Yeah.
So my mum was like, are you all right? And I was like, not really. I just pushed the coffin and it moved. And my mum went, I did the same thing. And we started laughing, still in the fucking service in the crematorium.
So common to laugh at the funeral.
So
you are just so, everything's so heightened and stressed that I think you go one, either you bawl your eyes out or you think, this is hilarious. Yeah. Come on, guys, this is very funny.
That's hilarious.
That happened at my granny's funeral, was that my cousins, my male cousins, were all the, what are they called?
Pallbearers.
I've got two tall cousins and two short cousins.
Amazing.
Right? And then... The short cousins went at the front and the tall cousins went out the back. Oh. And all we heard was they picked it up and it went... It's Granny's head hitting the end of the... Gook. And you can hear the kind of shove.
You don't know what to do. Sometimes you do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
My husband at his granny's funeral, the pallbearers came in And him and his sister just, they've been watching like Monty Python. Because they were moving,
doing the silly walk.
They just suddenly thought, this looks like the silly walk. And they just were crying. And I think they got sent out.
Yeah.
They were a bit younger. Plan your funeral. That's the other thing we should have talked about.
Yeah. And that's what I want to talk to like my mum and dad about. Yes, like, what do you want? What do you want?
Yeah, get it written down. And the other massive thing, tell someone your passwords.
Oh, for your email accounts. Yeah,
social media and email. Mm. Because otherwise, the shit they have to deal with, you should have a folder on your computer for when I'm dead. Mm-hmm. With your passwords in, bank details, or at least just in a drawer somewhere. Because that shit, trying to close down people's Facebook when you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like all those stupid little things you don't think about. That's my top tip.
Oh, I like it.
Top happy tip.
Well, there we go. I mean, that's we've a covered, podcast, isn't it? We've done everything.
So much. Death,
neighbours, actors.
Death and neighbours.
Hashtag me too.
Hashtag time's up. Hashtag Craig McLaughlin as well.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast, Carrie.
Thank you so much for having me.
And anything you want to plug?
Come see Ostentatious at the Savoy Theatre in London. If you go to ostentatiousimpro.com, you can find all the dates. Or listen to Griefcast on Acast. If you just type in Griefcast from where you get your podcasts, you'll find it.
Yeah, and it's brilliant, isn't it?
It's absolutely awesome. I highly recommend the Robert Webb and the Adam Buxton, Michelle Laurie. I mean, they're all
the others are dreadful. Those three.
Shit. And our dear friend Jack is on it, and his is awesome.
Oh, yeah, Jack Rook.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So listen to those ones. Yeah, but listen to them all. They're all excellent.
Yes, and thank you for listening to this podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe if you like it.
Yes, and our book is still in print, Ellie.
So far, at the time of recording, our book is still in print.
Treat yourself.
Yeah.
And we're touring all around the country, so come and see us. We're up and down and all around.
Yes. And so, yeah, go to scummymummies.com for, you know, all the tickets and the dates and all that jazz.
Mm.
And is that it?
Yeah. Follow us on the social media at Scummy Mummies. I think that's about it, Ellie.
Yes. And thank you again, iheartwines.co.uk, for supplying the Prosecco. Did you like the Prosecco?
I'm so coming? Drunk, I can't tell you.
She's literally had a thimble.
Until next time.
Bye-bye. Angela Lansbury?
Alive.
Yes, she is. Yeah, yeah.
Here's your curveball. I'll give you a curveball. Bouncer from Neighbours.
Oh.
Surely dead.
Dead.
Well, Carrie Ann.
Yes.
Let me tell you, because we were told this by Stonefish himself, or Toadfish.
What? Toadfish.
On the red carpet at the NTA.
You met Toadie.
Yes.
Fucking hell.
And the original Bouncer, is dead. But then they fucking brought Bouncer back. There's Bouncer 2. There's a new Bouncer who was with Toadfish when we met him on the carpet. It was possibly the best moment of anybody's life.
You met Toadie and Bouncer.
Bouncer 2.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You must have been proud of that. Come on.
I met Neil Morrissey.
No, not as good. Oh my God. Not as good as Toadie and Bouncer.
We're meeting celebrities. We're meeting like Joe Wicks, Mary Berry, like Eamon Holmes.
And Dick.
You know, and
Dick. We're doing all the things.
And then we're having these meetings and she's like showing off. Because
we're like Mylene Klaus and all the
house. And also Mylene Klaus.
Mylene Klaus.
Yes.
Such a nice lady. Yes. So smooth and on time.
So Austrian band, Heisek. And we're having all these meetings and she's like, oh yeah, we interviewed loads of celebrities like Neil Morrissey. And I'm like, for all the people we met, why do you keep saying Neil Morrissey?
I feel like that's an Australian who thinks Neil Morrissey is a big for us.
Yes.
Like we'd be
a big deal.
I was like, have you gotten confused with actual Morrissey?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
I mean, he's lovely, but he wouldn't. I think Toadie is more excited. I'm more excited by Toadie. My mum still watches Neighbours.
We had like Tom Jones, all sorts of people, and they're like,
Jones.
Yeah. I mean, he's no Neil Morrissey.
Obviously.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.